I want you to take the Word of God, please. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We are still continuing with our Building Families of Faith series. And we're right in the middle of the relationship of marriage. God willing, a little bit later, we'll be dealing with parenthood and several different issues. But we are right in the middle of the marriage relationship. And this morning, we're going to be preaching to the men. And all the ladies said, let them have it, right? And tonight, God willing, we'll be preaching to the ladies. So if the service is down tonight, I'm going to learn a lot about you men. I'll be honest with you. Yes. Got to get your wives back here tonight. I trust you'll do it. Ephesians chapter 5, just read one verse of Scripture, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me read it again. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, men, loving like Christ. Loving like Christ. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you this morning. And I pray that you help me to preach with clarity of mind and help this to be a time of helpfulness. May you encourage all of us who are husbands to really pay close attention. Help all the young men who haven't been married to pay close attention, to realize that even before they get married, that this is the kind of man that God expects his husbands to be. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. In our study on building a family of faith, we've established the foundation. The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, being saved by Him, and then as a child of God, walking with Him. Now, we're currently in the formation of the family of faith, which entails different relationships that make up the home, and we're now looking at the husband and wife relationship. Now, the last sermon that we dealt with last Sunday night was on marriage in general. It was God's marriage manual. Now what I'm wanting to do is I'm going to separate the husband and preach a message to him, separate the wife and preach a message to her, and look at them differently and separately. Now first we're going to look at the husband. Now notice verse number 25 again says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now what I want to do is I want to take this love of Christ for the church and put it under a microscope and see what God would have us to see as we consider husbands loving like Christ. Now let me say this before I even start here. I mean, I realize I've already started. I'm talking about the actual outline. There's no way to accurately describe completely the love of Jesus Christ for His church. There's no way to do that, and you understand that. I just want to hit the high points today, and I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of them. But I'm encouraging you, if you are a married man, would you raise your hand? You're a married man. You need to pay very close attention. And let me say this to you. If you're not a married man, would you raise your hand? You're not a married man, teenager, whatever the case may be. You need to listen to me, especially if you're planning on getting married someday. Because this is the kind of man that God wants his husbands to be. And let me say this. I realize I'm preaching this, but I'm not saying that I am completely in this myself. I need help with this myself. Now there's three things I want you to notice about this love. Loving like Christ. Three things about it. Number one, we see loving like Christ demanded. We see this in our text where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now notice this statement is given here is not a suggestion. It's rather a clear-cut command. Understand this, loving like Christ is a command that we as husbands must choose to obey. Now here's what Hollywood tries to tell you, and here's what the world tries to tell you. Love is an emotion that you need to feel. That's hogwash. Love is not an emotion to feel. Love is a command to obey. Are you with me now? Somebody says she's not very lovely. Neither were you, but Jesus loved you anyway. Amen. God has demanded for his husbands to love their wife like he loves them. The Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives. When I wake up in the morning, and men, you know what I'm getting ready to say to you. When I wake up in the morning and I walk through the day, I am confronted with sin, I am confronted with society, and I have to make a choice. I will obey God's command, and I will not yield to that. I will love my wife like Christ loves me. You must understand this is demanded of you. God's not asking you to do this. He's commanding you to do it. We see loving like Christ, number one, demanded. Number two, we see loving like Christ described. Now see this in our text again where it says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now, we see in that phrase, even as Christ also loved the church, he's trying to describe to us the kind of love that he wants us to have for our wives. Now, the Lord has showed me something here. And when I saw this a long time ago, God really spoke to my heart. I want you to hold your place here and turn with me back to the book of John. Hold your place in Ephesians because we're coming back there, but flip back to the book of John chapter 15. Now, I'm going to show you a verse that the Lord really has dealt with me in a major way about. Because here's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, husbands, love your wives the same way I love you. Now the obvious question is this, how does he love me? How does he love his church? What describes that love? Now I'm going to give you 3 points under this, but it's going to take me a little while to get to it. Look at John chapter 15 verse 9. Now this is Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son speaking. Now notice this statement, as the Father hath loved me, so, or with the same kind, have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now, notice verse number 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, I'm asking the Lord to help me make this very clear. How does the Lord Jesus Christ love you? The answer is with the same love that his Father loves him. Now stay with me here. Jesus said, as my Father loves me, even so do I love you. Now, what a thought, get this, that Jesus Christ loves the church with the identical love that God the Father loves him. Let me ask you a question. How much does God the Father love God the Son? How can you describe that love? I mean, honestly, how can you describe God the Father's love for God the Son? It's indescribable. Now, you're with me on that, right? It's indescribable. But here's what I want you to see. He demands us to love our wives like he loves the church. In other words, husbands are to love their wives like Christ loves the church, which is how God the Father loves him. Now, even though this love is indescribable, I'm going to give you 3 things about it today. Now, there's no way to fully describe it. You understand that? But there's 3 things, no doubt about it, that summarizes God the Father's love to God the Son. Because that love is the same love that God wants us to love our wives with. Number one, under this, we're looking at loving like Christ described. First of all, it is an indisputable love. Now what does that mean? That means it's undoubtedly true. It's unquestionable. There's no doubt that God the Father loves God the Son. Right? No doubt about it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, right here it says, as the Father hath loved me. God the Son knew without a doubt that his Father loved him. The Bible tells us in John chapter 5 verse 20, says the Father loveth the Son. In Matthew 3, 17:5. In Mark 1, 11 and 9, 7. In Luke 3, 22 and 9, 35. God the Father addressed God the Son as my beloved Son. There's no doubt that God the Father loves God the Son. And there's no doubt that Jesus Christ, God's Son, loves the church, which is you if you're saved. And in the same way,
God wants his husbands to love their wives in such a way that there's no question mark in the wife's mind, my husband loves me. Amen. There are men out there today, they don't care what their wife thinks. They live in such a way that it puts a question mark in their wife's mind. Does he love me? Does he not? I don't know if he loves me or not. There are ladies listening to me right now. I may not know who you are. You may think I do. I don't. But here's the fact. There are ladies all over the world today who are married to a man, and in their own mind, they're questioning, does he really love me or does he not? Does he really love me or does he not? Let me tell you something. That is not the kind of love God wants his husbands to have towards his wife. God wants that love to be an indisputable love. Does your wife know without a shadow of a doubt that you love her? By the way, she needs to hear it more than with your words. You say a whole lot more by your actions than your words. And what I'm telling you is this, if you say you love your wife, but you're hooked on something that you know you should never be hooked on, and you know what I'm talking about, you're telling her you really don't love her. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that God's love for God, I'm talking about God the Father's love for God the Son, is an indisputable love. And with that love is how he loves me. It's indisputable. Jesus Christ loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm too high. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And I am so glad today that I have no question in my mind, not one doubt in my mind. And I just killed those people who are listening live. I apologize. But I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ loves me today. He loves me. I don't have a question mark about that. He loves me with an indisputable love. And I'm to give that lady right there, my wife, so much of my attention and so much of my love that if somebody says, does your husband love you? She says, you better believe he loves me with all of his heart. Let me ask you a question. Can your wife say that about you, men? It's an indisputable love. Number two, it's not only indisputable. Number two, it's an individual love. Boy, I like that. What I mean by that, notice what the Lord said in John chapter 15, verse 9. He said, as the Father hath loved me. It's an individual love. God the Father loves God the Son individually. He has the Father's complete love. Do you know that? He really does. Christ also loves the church with the same love. Here's what I mean. The church is an organization. The church is not a building. The church is an organization of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is only a building here, but the true church is God's saved people within it. But the glad thing I know about this is that even though Jesus Christ loves Bobby Whitson here with his individual love, I realize he doesn't take any love away from me at the same time. And what I mean by that is this. Only God can take the identical love. That's one giant leap for a man of my stature. Only God can take his individual love and love him with the identical love that he loves me. Now you know where I'm going with this, don't you? If there's a man here today and you say, I love two women, you don't want to know what I'm thinking. Because Jesus Christ loves you individually. And God the Father loves God the Son individually. And where I'm going with this is, men, you're to love one woman that way. And it's your wife. Amen. You say, Jody, why should I? Because you represent Christ. And that's how he loves you. And he says, I want you to love her the same way I love you. It's an individual love. I'm glad he loves me completely today. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad he's not taking his love away from me and giving it to you. Amen. But see, you can say the same thing. God loves you with an individual love. He loves you today. Aren't you glad that's true? I mean, he loves you as an individual. And your wife ought to know
that there's one lady in all the world that you love in that way, and it should be her. She's to be the object of your love. Galatians 2:20 says, the Son of God who loved me. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, again, husbands, love your wives. We're to love our wives individually. Them and them alone are to be the recipient of this love, loving like Christ. Loving like Christ demanded, loving like Christ described. It's indisputable. It's individual. Number three, it's indestructible. What's that mean? That means there will never be a time when it is not present. God the Father loves God the Son eternally. It'll never end. You cannot destroy the love of the Father for the Son. You can't destroy it. It's indestructible. Do you understand that today, even in Christian marriages, 50% of them, a little over 50% end in divorce? And by the way, again, and if you've been here at any time at all, you understand that I'm not throwing punches. Because again, some of the finest people in our church are divorced, but that's not God's plan. And you know that's the truth. By the way, if you've been divorced and you're remarried, apply it to your marriage now. You make sure it's indestructible. You say, well, we'll just give it a whirl. It's a 50-50 street. She does half, I do half. I'm glad salvation wasn't that way. I'm glad salvation was all him. And the man ought to make up his mind right now. I don't care what she does. I'm going to love her anyway. Amen. It's indestructible. Christ loves the church with that same kind of indestructible love. He'll always love you. He'll never stop loving you. You say, prove it. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee, he said, nor forsake thee. You know one of the greatest promises that Jesus Christ gave the church? That promise right there. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And he is to be pictured in the home by the husband. And we, as the husband, are supposed to love our wives like he loves the church, which means that we should look at them and say, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Our love should be indestructible. A husband is to love his wife with this love that absolutely nothing can tear it down. Nothing should cause you to stop loving your wife. Nothing. Nothing. You say, Jody, I'll love her as long as she treats me right. You've missed the boat. Now, should she treat you right? Yes. We'll tell her about that tonight. I just run half the crowd off for tonight right there, Brother Gary. But when you look at your marriage, let me help you something. God's taught me a lesson. Here's a lesson he's taught. Don't ever point at somebody else and say it's them. Now, could it be them? Yes. But if you're going through life like this, you'll be miserable the rest of your life. The way God wants you to work, listen, I'm helping somebody right here. Don't ever get into the habit of this. Get into the habit of saying, God, help me get in the mirror. By the way, this is called the mirror of God. Help me get in the mirror and show me where I need to get improvement. Show me what I need. How can I get closer to you? How can I improve? How can I do this? It's sickening when God's people start doing this, that, when God is the only one that has the right to look at you and say, this is what you did. It's indestructible. You ever heard this before? I hope you haven't. But I just don't love her anymore. A person like that just told on themselves. Their problem is not that they don't love their wife anymore. Their problem is they don't love God like they should. Amen. Because when you love God the way you should love God, and you get a fresh glimpse of how he loves you, and he says, by the way, I'm giving you the exalted privilege as the man in the home. I'm putting my reputation on the line for you, and I'm letting you show your wife how I love you. That's serious business right there, folks. Loving like Christ. demanded, loving like Christ described, indisputable, no doubt about it, individual, just one person, indestructible. You can't get away from it. Romans chapter 8, you don't need to turn to it, but Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, the Bible says this. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what he's saying to you, he said, I don't care what comes in life. I don't care if it's life, death, peril, sword, you're on the mountain, in the valley. I'm going to love you regardless, is what he's telling us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And yet there's so many of God's chosen men. I'm talking about God's husbands. I'm talking about God's children who are married, who will enter life and enter marriage as saying, as long as she treats me right, I'll love her. As long as she does this, I'll take care of her. As long as she doesn't backtalk me, I'll do this. You don't know Jesus Christ's love for you if it came up, folks, and hit you right square in the face. He loves you no matter what you do and how you respond back to him. He loves you today. And the man is to love his wife as he loves them. We see it described. Then number three. By the way, the wives, and I'm not giving them an excuse here, but there's a lot of wives who'd have no problem submitting to their husbands if they really knew that they loved them the way that Christ loves the church. I'm not giving a wife an excuse to be insubmissive. But there'd be a lot more submission if there's a whole lot more loving. Anybody out there today? You know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? Number one, we see it demanded. Number two, described. Number three, we see it demonstrated. Loving like Christ demonstrated. Back in our text, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Here it is. And gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, demand. Even as Christ loved the church, described. And gave himself for it, demonstrated. Christ loved the church so much that he died for it. Christ demonstrated his love to us by giving himself for us. Right? John 15, 13, Jesus said himself, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Acts 20, 28, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Bible says in Galatians 1, 3, and 4, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You say, Jody, how did Christ demonstrate his love for the church? If you're saved, that's you. How did he demonstrate his love for you? Well, he stepped out of heaven's portals, laid his glory aside, came down to this world and was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect, sinless life. He who never became sleepy and had to sleep. He who never hungered had the devil tempt him with food because he was a human being now, yet he was God. They took him, and they came by, and they plucked his beard out by the roots. They took him, and they cleared their throat, and they spit into his face. They took him, and they took what they call the cat of nine tails, a Roman whip, with some kind of a Roman whip with like nine strands coming out of it, and each strand has a piece of something like glass or teeth or something like that. Rock or something like that, lead balls, whatever the case may be, whatever they used back in that day that would lacerate the skin.
And they tied him up in some form or fashion. And they took a Roman soldier, and with all of his might, he would come down across the back of him. And those 9 strands would dig into his flesh, and they would rip it back across his flesh. And they come down across his back and rip it across his flesh again. And they come down and rip it again. And they made a crown of thorns. And they put it on his head. And they took a stick and they beat it down upon his skull. They covered his face and began to mock him. And began to hit him with their hands. And they said, "Lord, prophesy unto us. Who is it that just hit you?" They're making fun of him. Because they knew if he truly was the Lord, that even though he couldn't see who literally hit him, he would still know who it was. And he knew who it was. The Bible says he was as a sheep, dumb, brought before the slaughter. They took him to the hill called Golgotha. They laid him down. They took spikes and drove them through his hands and drove them through his feet. They put the cross down. And the Bible says all of his bones came out of joint. He hung there bleeding and dying. And the worst thing happened to him. All of a sudden he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The only time in history that the Lord Jesus referred to his Father as "my God." And he bowed his head and he died. Why did he do that? Because he loves you. And he showed it to you by what he did. I'm cut. Because he's told me to love my wife in that same way. And how many times have I been guilty of wanting my own selfish way? If I love her the way that he loves me, I'll have no problem sacrificing everything that my flesh may want to make sure that her needs are met. Reminded of the story of William Gladstone announcing the death of Princess Alice in the House of Commons. He told a touching story. The little daughter of this princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter, because if she did, it would endanger her life by breathing the child's breath. Once when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little one up into her arms to keep her from choking to death. She is gasping for breath and struggling for her life, and the child looked up. Now keep in mind what the doctor told her: don't kiss her, don't get in her face. The little child looked up at her mommy, and she said, "Mama, kiss me." Without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter. Because of that, she also got diphtheria. And some days thereafter, she went to be forever with the Lord. You say, "Why are you sharing that?" Because you and I have been bitten with the sin bug. And it's contagious. God the Father looking up there and saying, "Boy, I'd love for all of them to come to heaven." What can we do? You know that didn't happen, you understand? I'm just trying to paraphrase something with you. Because it was before the foundation of the world. He already knew what he was going to do. You understand that. They say if anybody gets in contact with them, it'll take you down too. And I see in the shadows the blessed Son of God step out and say, "I'll go. I'll become just like them. And I'll die in their place." And yet, men,
We say, I don't feel like it. Nope, not going to do it. Just don't feel like it. Honey, will you please do this or whatever? You say, well, for one thing, I never heard that come out of my wife's mouth, but again, we'll get that tonight. I'm just kidding with you. I'm just talking to you today. Do you really love your wife like Christ loves you? Do you really love her, and are you demonstrating it? Are you sacrificially giving yourself for her needs? Or are you more concerned with what she's giving you? A lot of men are living opposite. As long as she gives me, I'll give her. Again, I'm so glad the Lord doesn't treat me that way. Loving like Christ demanded, loving like Christ described, loving like Christ demonstrated. I wonder, men, are you really loving like Christ? Do you really love her like Christ? And I share this and I'm coming to a close. That does not mean you're closing. Stay with me. But if you discover that you had 5 minutes left to say all that you wanted to say to one person, who would you choose? And what would you say? I dare say that there would be a lot of men who would say, if I knew I had 5 minutes left and that's it, I believe I would choose to talk to my wife and make sure that she knows I love her. If you're sitting there right now and you say, Jody, I'm married, but I wouldn't choose to speak to my wife, I'd choose to speak to my children. And you are dead wrong, sir. That's not of God. What am I saying? I'm saying this. If you knew you had 5 minutes left to say one more thing to your wife or do one more thing for your wife, what would you do? I dealt with a man this week in the hospital. And he's lost. Just dealt with him yesterday. He doesn't come to this church, not a member of this church. Nobody in this church even knows him as far as I know. But he's got a lot of health problems, a lot of issues. And he needs the Lord. And I sat in his room yesterday and sat right in front of him and I was begging him to trust Christ as his Savior. And he was weeping. He called off about 10 things he's got wrong with him physically. I'm serious, about 10 things. I'm guessing on that number, but something close to that. When I'd bring him to the point to where he needs to trust Christ, he began to weep. And he said, I just don't know what it is that's keeping me back. So the Lord helped me come back again at him. I made a circle around him and come right back at him again. He began to weep and say, I know this is what I need, but I just don't know what it is that's holding me back. I wish you'd pray for him. Where am I going with this? There's a man who's rejecting the love of God. He said, I think he's 68 years old, if I remember what he told me right. He's rejected Jesus Christ. He's rejected God. He's rejected it all. He doesn't want anything to do with it, but I've got news for you. Jesus Christ loves that man as much as he loves you today. Now, men, do you love your wife the same? Do you really love like Christ? I think all of us need to do a heart check. What's the Lord speaking to you about? And by the way, before I close this, let me say this. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, Jesus Christ did all of what I said and even more so you can become a child of God. Wouldn't you love to know Him? He's a wonderful Savior. And He loves you today. May the Lord help us with this. Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask nobody unless it's absolutely an emergency. If it's an emergency, obviously help yourself, but unless it's an emergency, I'm going to ask you just to stay right in your seat. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray right now, God, that you'll help
the men in here who are married to do business with you. If somebody's lost, I pray that you'll draw them to yourself. And then those who may not even be married yet, but one day they hope to be, would you help them to learn these lessons? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. If God is dealing with you, it's a wonderful thing when God speaks to your heart. And I believe first thing is first. And that is this. Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you have the assurance in your heart that if something happened to you today, or if Jesus Christ came back in the eastern sky, do you know without a doubt that heaven really is your home? If you're here today and you do not know that for sure, I've got good news for you. You can before you leave. But it's your decision. Just like this gentleman in the hospital, God Almighty will not violate His will. He will not force him to do anything. And He's not going to force you to do anything either. He simply lets you know this is what you need. But you have to make the decision to do the right thing. If you do know for sure that heaven's your home, no doubt in your mind, you're a child of God. You know it. You don't hope so. You don't think so. You know so. You're saved and you know that. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand in the air? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, if there's somebody here who did not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. It all starts with honesty. And by the way, you could never have the marriage that God wants you to have without having God in your life. It's impossible. Have you here today? Say, Jody, would you pray for me? I couldn't raise my hand to that. Now listen, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just need to know how to proceed with the invitation. So somebody here today, you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I couldn't raise my hand to that. I do not know that I'm a child of God. Would you be honest one more time? Would you raise your hand in this congregation? Anybody like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody at all, I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out, but you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. Anybody at all, I'm looking. And let me ask you this. If you're saved today and you're a man and you are married, but God is speaking to you, you're a married man, you're a Christian, but God is speaking to you. In some way or another, this doesn't mean that you're not doing what you should be doing. It may be that God's just encouraging you to keep up what you're doing, but you say, God is speaking to me, Jody. I'm a married man and I'm a Christian, but God is speaking to me. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest man. Be an honest Christian man. That's a lot of you. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me. Would you do that? I'm going to tell you something. God spoke to me today. A lot of times I get more out of my own preaching than I do somebody else. And I don't know what you're looking at me about. It could be a good thing. In just a moment, I'm going to ask every one of you to grab your wife if she's in the congregation. You say, why do I need to do that? Because he reached down and grabbed you, didn't he? Amen. If she's in the congregation with you, I'm going to ask you to bring her with you today all. And ask the Lord to help you. I trust you'll do it. Just keep looking at me if that's you. But if you're here today and you say, Jody, I'm not married. Maybe you're a teenager or just a single man. You say, God is speaking to me. There's some things that I need to get right. God knows it. I'm not ready to get married because there's some things that I need to deal with. Would you be an honest man? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Anybody like that? May the Lord help you. God help you with it. Amen. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a mighty way. Jesus' name. Brother Gary's singing, your head still bowed, eyes still closed. If you're a man that was looking at me a moment ago, now's your time. Grab your wife, bring her to the altar. Ask God to help you. Others, would you come as Brother Gary sings?
Have thine own way,
God help
Lord. Have thine own way.
May the Lord help you with this.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay.
Man, why don't you bring your wife?
Hold me
from the balcony all the way down. Come on.
After
thy ask God
will,
to help you. Ask
while
the Lord
I am waiting,
they're playing through. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. How many of you are here today and you say, Jody, I realize this is a very hurtful question I'm getting ready to ask. God knows I'm not trying to do anything. How many of you men say, Jody, I've lost my wife. I'm talking about to death. I'm not talking about to divorce. You say, Jody, I've lost her. Matter of fact, I want you to bow your head just a moment. Have you say, Jody, that's me. I've lost her. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it. Look at me just a moment. I cannot imagine what you must be feeling when you hear a message like this. And I wanted just to speak directly to you and let you know that I love you. And I know it's a hard message to sit through. I know it is. May God help you. May God help you. If you're a husband, matter of fact, all of you, if you'd look at me, please. If you're a husband, you say, Jody, I need this. Do something about it. What a sweet spirit I feel this morning. Do something about it. You can have the greatest marriage you've ever dreamed, but men, the ball's in your court. You have got to set the standard with love. You've got to set the standard. God is dealing with people. We praise Him for it. Amen. Some of you men, do your marriage a world of wonder if you'd set your wife down. Just tell her how proud of her you are. I need to do more of that myself. I love my wife. I praise God for my wife. I'm proud of her. She loves the Lord. May God help us with it. Amen. If you're visiting with us again for the first time, if this is your first time here and you have one of those visitor's cards, I'm going to ask you, please remember to take it out in the lobby. Put it at the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift just for you. Tonight, we're going to turn the coin. We're going to talk to the wives tonight. And wives, I made a joke out of it. I'm not going to get on you tonight. I'm going to try to help you tonight. I make a joke out of that. Might be a message that you need, no doubt about it. May the Lord help us with it. I think God's in this series, don't you? We give Him all the glory for it. Try to bring somebody with you tonight. 6:30. 6:30. Prayer meeting at 6:10 in the chapel. If you can make it, that'll be a great thing. Amen. Let's sing that last verse. This will be our closing prayer. So as we sing this together, as soon as we get done with it, you can be dismissed.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am here.